Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and I am excited to have our guest here today. Please introduce yourself and tell us about your books.
Hi, my name is Erica Ruth Neubauer. I am from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I have a very wide and varied background. Currently, I'm a licensed private investigator, but I also was in the military for 11 years, and I was a cop for 2 years, and I taught high school English. I've done a lot of things before I decided to sit down and try to write. So my series is the Jane Wunderly mystery series. They're set in the 1920s. The first is Murder at the Mena House, and it is set in 1926 Egypt.
And the new one is Murder at Wedgefield Manor.
It is.
And first of all, I definitely snooped a little bit on your bio, so I knew some of that stuff. And I'm looking through this, and I was like, wow, what a life this woman has led already. And it's really just quite amazing. And then you're writing these books, which are so refreshing to read. A little aside about me, especially since the pandemic began, almost everything I've been reading has been either suspense, thriller, or horror. And I know, right? And you have a blog as well, right?
I just started it.
I think we seem to have similar taste in books. Nice. Because I'm looking through it and I'm like, I'd read that. Yeah, but this was really good. And it was almost like eating a refreshing salad after having like a big heavy meal, because you had these wonderful characters. I love Jane so much. She's such a great character. And you still have the twists and turns and intrigue that you would have in a thriller, but it's a very different feel and a very different voice. So I just loved it so much.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Jane and Aunt Millie, and of course Redvers, and how you came up with all of them.
I also really, really love Jane. She's kind of an amalgamation of things that I love in the novels. I love strong protagonists that are overcoming obstacles and growing as a character, but like definitely are feisty and a bit of a smart aleck. Those are things I love, and I came up with the idea. I grew up on Agatha Christie and Masterpiece Mystery. My dad, we watched so much of that. It was totally my childhood. So somewhere along the way, I picked up really romantic ideas about the 20s and Egypt. And I thought, this is a book I really want to read. And I love the Amelia Peabody books, but I wanted something with a little different vibe. So I really followed the advice I was given, which was to write the book you want to read. I really wanted to read something set during that time period in Egypt that wasn't necessarily an archaeology novel, because I don't think I can touch what Elizabeth Peters does at all. But just something with kind of an Agatha Christie vibe, you know? I sat down and started banging it out. Aunt Millie is actually based on my grandmother, who...
Jaw drop. because we use video in these recordings ever since the pandemic dropped, because we've been recording over Zoom. But we don't, unless it's requested by the author, we don't generally use the video for the podcast itself. So sometimes I have to explain why somebody's laughing, and that is because my jaw visibly dropped.
Yeah, Aunt Millie was based on my grandma. She was really, I will politely say, pot stirrer, my grandmother, and kind of really difficult to get along with. actually. So that is 100% where she came from. And I still loved her, and people in my family still loved her, obviously, but she was tough. And I think that's true of a lot of family relationships. So that's where she came from. And Red Rose, I just always loved the tall, dark, handsome stranger with a mysterious past. I love a little romance in my books. So.
Of course, of course. Who doesn't? I have to say, you know, just reading some of the descriptions, somebody had described, I'm trying to remember if it was on, oh, it's on the blurb of the back of your book, the latest book, in the wake of World War I, Jane Wunderly, a thoroughly modern young American widow, which I'm about to get back to, is traveling abroad, enjoying hospitality and a perfectly proper manor house until murder makes an unwelcome appearance. I have to ask,
yes,
describing Jane as thoroughly modern, but her aunt is Millie. Was that on purpose? Because you know, thoroughly modern Millie is.
No, I didn't. I did not even pick up on that until just right now. That's wow. So funny.
I like it. That makes me happy.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Somebody was having some fun. I like it. Yeah. But So Jane, what I find very interesting is, you know, she's this young woman, and I don't really want to spoil anything, but if you look at the front of this book, she is wearing almost like an Amelia Earhart-esque aviation outfit, and she is she's learning how to fly. And one thing I found, you know, much to Millie's horror, but one thing I found interesting, and I do find interesting, is so she's a young widow, and she is a vibrant young widow, but that seems to give her freedom that women might not have had, even in the roaring 20s. And her marriage, we know from, you know, reading, was not the best before she became widowed. So do you want to talk a little bit about, where the decision for that background came from?
Sure. I definitely wanted to give her a little bit of a darker backstory. Like I when I set out to write this, I wanted to write something that was completely escapist and light and fun, but I did want to give her a little bit of gravitas and a darker backstory. And I hope I don't spoil it by saying, like, she does come from a background of domestic violence. And I guess it's an issue that's really important to me. I saw a lot of it when I was a police officer, went to a lot of domestic violence calls. And it's something that was, of course, incredibly socially taboo to talk about in the 20s, but it's still something that's kind of still socially taboo to talk about now. And I guess I just kind of wanted to highlight that a little bit. And also it gives her a really difficult place to be coming from when she's making decisions about both men and, you know, investigating things. So that's why I chose that.
Yeah.
That's important to me.
And, you know, like I said, like being a widow, in a way, she has more agency, even though she didn't have agency in her marriage, she has agency by being a widow.
Yes.
And she's not what one, you know, automatically the term widow seems to call up like images of like Miss Havisham from although she was jilted, she wasn't quite a widow. The gentleman himself didn't follow through. But that's generally the feeling you get when you hear about a widow. You're just like, oh man, this poor old woman who's sitting around in her house knitting tea cozies, but that is not Jane.
That was another reason I gave her that as a backstory, was that it would give her a little bit more agency. It's not Victorian times anymore, but it's definitely, there were still social mores in place. And I like having her push against those, which that's really fun to play with, which is another reason I chose that time period. Yeah.
So Millie herself makes a discovery of her own. Yes, which happened in the last book. And she's now, again, I hope you don't mind if I say this, because this is kind of setting up for the new one, and it says it on the back cover. She is now spending some time with a daughter who she had given up. So Millie herself, and Millie is a matchmaker. She's...
She's trying to push Jane into some kind of relationship.
Like, that's like her thing that like she wants to do, you know, and she's all about, you know, like, oh, look at that guy. Oh, look at that guy, you know, like make a properly married woman out of you. But she herself is not 100% what she was pushing for Jane because of her past. And I loved that. I really, really did. So when you were crafting the, like this relationship, how did you go about it? This new relationship with, I guess, a mother and a long lost daughter.
I guess I just really approached it as like Millie being Millie. I think this is how Millie would have just been so matter of fact about it. And and I think Lillian's a little bit that way too. Yeah. I actually wrote Lillian as, I had envisioned Lillian as being a little bit on the spectrum.
I could see that. Okay. Yes.
Like her just absolute single-mindedness and some of the, her like not picking up on social cues, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I think that is how I approached their like burgeoning relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I loved reading it myself. And then there is the case of murder. And once again, they are connected with Mr. Redvers. And, you know, there's just a really good pace to the book, as I was saying before. When you write your stories, are there twists that you've already envisioned, or do they come up on you as you're writing? Like, are you, the term that we learned about a year ago was planner and pantser?
Yep, I'm a pantser.
You're a pantser. All right. A lot of my favorite authors are pantsers.
That's so funny. Some of these things surprise me, where I'll just get to something and be like, oh, this would be a great twist. And there it is. Yeah, when I wrote the first book, I didn't know who did it until I was probably two-thirds of the way done writing that book before I knew who did it. And I was like, hey, look at this. I think this is who did it.
So that's amazing to me, because I've always envisioned writers as starting at the end and going back to, I love it.
I didn't. I think in revisions, I definitely went back and made sure that things were in place. But when I write a first draft, I'm just like kind of throwing words on a page and seeing what happens.
I feel like Jane has become a bit of a pantser in life.
Yes. Yes.
So
true.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
You already touched upon a little bit how like some of your background sort of influenced characters in the book. Had you always wanted to write a book? Like,
I always did. I just never really had the courage to sit down and try it. Because I have a degree in English, but I had never done creative writing before. But I was a mystery reviewer. So I was in the mystery community for many years, like 6 or 7 years. And just going to all those conferences and like talking with people and hearing people, like, honestly, I distinctly remember hearing Sue Grafton give a talk about how she had 8 novels in the drawer before she got her first novel published. And that how like she struggled every time she wrote a novel, worrying about whether she could still do it, whether it was good enough. And I was like, well, if Sue Grafton is struggling and has 8 novels in the drawer, I can at least sit down and try. And so I finally did. But yeah, it's something I have always dreamed of since I was a little girl, was to have a book published. So,
well, congratulations. So is there going to be more in the series?
So number 3 is already turned in.
Ooh.
Exciting. I know. And it is set on a transatlantic cruise.
Very cool.
Yes.
I like that.
And then we'll find out. I definitely have ideas for books 4 and 5. I want them to keep moving from place to place. Ideally, like fun places for me to go do research.
Sure. That sounds great. Were you now, do you do, like, I mean, obviously COVID is going to make this a little bit more difficult. Are you an armchair traveler when you do your research, or are you like, go into Egypt, let's go into a British manor?
I wrote the book. I wrote Mina House before I went to Egypt, but I did go to Egypt afterwards, to check my work. Have to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I have actually spent some time in England, and actually stayed in a manor house in Scotland when I was doing a grad school class. So, yeah.
I don't want to ask you all the places that everybody's going to go, because I feel like that's going to just be spoilers, and everybody needs to experience these books organically. So I look forward to Jane and Millie's and everybody else's and Redvers Swoon's next trip. I see you have a blog, if you don't mind me promoting it.
Thank you.
What are you reading and loving?
I will freely admit that I have struggled during this pandemic with reading, but I'm reading Dead Girls right now. I just picked it up and started it. It's set in 1920s Harlem.
Ooh, I feel like this is a book that I would like. Dead Girls.
Dead Girls. Just picked that up. Oh man, what else am I reading? I have Susanna Calkins's new Lucy Campion series. I have that sitting over here. That's on my to read list very shortly. I can't think of what else. You know, I'll honestly sometimes read some romance, and I just finished Amanda Quick has a series that's set in Burning Cove.
Oh,
and they're all set in like 1930s California in one little town. And they're like romance. There's a little bit of paranormal elements. They're fun. I just finished like the fifth one in that series.
That sounds good. Yeah. I think, like I said, I mean, thrillers, horror, suspense is, I think, but I think that, you know, that Murder at Mina House and Wedgefield Manor are, like I said, just like, they're a good refresher. And everybody has their own thing. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people and librarians, and I know this is supposed to put us on the librarian hall of shame, but like, they've been watching a lot, like streaming a lot of things lately. You know, it's very difficult to really assess how you're going to be in a pandemic, because guess what? Like, the last time there was a pandemic was
100 years ago.
Yeah, like maybe around, you know, not too far off from Jane's adventures. So, you know, we really have no frame of reference. And even though we're a year into it, I think everybody is in a way a little bit affected.
Yeah.
Even if they think that they're fine, I'm totally fine. Speaking of which, like, I don't know, you don't happen to watch WandaVision, do you?
No, a lot of my friends are watching it.
It's very, I'm just thinking about it because, the main character at one point, you know, like she inserts herself into different sitcoms of different decades. And it's more like a Modern Family type one where like they're interviewed, like she's almost like on a fake interview and she's like, her hair is all messy and she's like all frumpy and she's like, I'm fine. And I feel like that's everybody.
Yes, very much. Yeah, this is fine, you guys.
Oh, totally. We're good. Don't leave your house. Sure. Fine. Haven't left my house in, you know, like forever. So, but I do think that listeners would really enjoy your books. And I really, myself, look forward to hearing more from you. And please come back to talk about further adventures of Jane Wonderly.
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Is there anything that you want to leave us with?
I think everyone should, we all just have to keep our chins up and like keep doing the best that we can and like be gentle with ourselves. I think that's it. Everyone be gentle with yourself right now.
I agree wholeheartedly. So when does Murder at Wedgefield Manor officially drop?
Well, it officially comes out on March 30th, and I cannot believe that that is this month in just a couple of weeks.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.